Welcome to Canada Conversations, part of Delaware Debates 2018, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne. This conversation, taped at the Delaware Public Media Studios on the campus of Delaware State University, focuses on the race for state auditor. And we are joined by Democrat Dennis Williams. Dennis, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me here.
So we start with probably the most basic question for anyone running. Why are you running for state auditor?
I'm running because I see a need to have an experienced, qualified person in that role who is going to do what the job is supposed to do. That hasn't happened for the past 30 years. I'm an accountant. I'm an auditor. I'm a manager, a former state representative. And I've seen weaknesses in the office. As a state representative, I always thought that the auditor should be a resource. I work with auditors all the time. And they are a resource for me. And I didn't see that. We should be getting more value out of the office of auditor. And we're just not. I was frustrated last year when grant and aid was cut across the board for senior centers and community centers and fire companies. And I know we've had budget problems. There were budget problems when I was elected in 2008. But there are efficiencies out there. There are ways to make this office better. There are ways to make it more accountable, to make the government more accountable. And we, the amount that was cut last year, I think we can see in savings if we really were doing this job the way it should be done. And having served in the House, having served on budget committees and seeing that side of the equation, having worked as an accountant and auditor, and seeing that side of the equation, I think I know what questions to ask and what things to look for. And so I saw that need. And even though I left the House of Representatives 4 years ago, I've always been drawn to public service and doing what I think is best. And I just saw myself as having the skills to do that.
You talked a little bit about your background.
Yes. Maybe
if you want to expound a little bit more on what is in your background that you feel makes you better suited for this job than the other candidates in the race.
Okay. Well, I do believe I'm the only candidate who has the necessary experience, qualifications, education, training, and understanding of the job to do that job. And as important, I'm the only one who's independent. Now, I'm a lifelong Democrat. I'm a lifelong Delawarean. Lived in Delaware my entire life. Been a registered Democrat for 40 years since I was old enough to vote, and so I've grown up here. I went to Concord High School, but I went to the University of Delaware, and I have a bachelor's degree in accounting and in financial management. I've worked in industry, small industry. Actually, my first job after college was with the Department of the Navy, a civilian employee, and I was doing auditing. And I was part of that team that was finding millions of dollars in cost overruns, the expensive hammers and toilet seats. I know people who remember that era. I was part of that team. So we were literally finding millions of dollars in taxpayer dollars that we were saving. And that was the start of my career. From there, I moved on to other local companies, working as a senior accountant and controller, and eventually a chief financial officer. I worked for Sikorsky Global Helicopters. Now, Sikorsky, which then was part of United Technologies, was a $6 billion company. It's a big company. Mm. The budget of the state of Delaware is $4.25 billion. So I was part of a gigantic organization. My job at Sikorsky was dealing with internal controls. About that time, Congress passed the Sarbanes-Oxley law. Because there was fraud, there was a lot of things going on that were not good. Companies were going out of business. Stockholders were being taken advantage of. And there were a couple of key pieces of that legislation. One dealt with independence. One dealt with internal controls. The independence side of it was that the company, the managers of the company, shouldn't be picking their own auditor. The board of directors, who are supposed to really be looking out for the interest of the stockholders, they're the ones who pick the audit firm to audit the managers. So they're watching out for their money. So splitting that responsibility is an independence item. It's critical enough and big enough that we had this major legislation. The other piece of that was internal controls. Two signatures on a check. Who approves this? Who approves that? A lot of things that just simply were not in place. So that was my job at Sikorsky. Among some other things, I did budgeting and forecasting, worked as the controller. But because that was such a big piece of being a controller, that was the job. And putting into place all of those processes and procedures and manuals and disseminating that information out to all the various departments and divisions of this gigantic organization. So that is really the key piece of what government auditing is, of what state auditing and the single audit, all that process is. You are testing for internal controls, because if you're confident that nothing's getting through the cracks, then you should, it helps you develop that confidence that the money's going to the right place. So that's what I did at Sikorsky, and I did a good job there because they sent me back to school. They paid for me to go to the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. And I got my master's degree from Wharton and the School of Engineering in technology management. So I was able to use that to in further jobs as well, supervising IT personnel and a wide range of people. So once I finished that degree, with all that spare time I had, I ran for office. I ran for state representative in 2008, and I was elected from the district at the very top of the state, from Claymont to the 202 area. Mm-hmm. So I served in the House for 6 years representing that area. I was on the Revenue and Finance Committee, the Labor Committee, but I was also on the Bond Bill Committee. That's the nickname for the capital budget, capital infrastructure, the joint capital infrastructure budget committee. It was a joint committee between the House and right. the Senate. And our job there was to look at and approve, modify the capital budget of the state for things like schools and roads and bridges and state buildings and the Port of Wilmington. And a lot of money flows through there. And my job as a committee member was questioning the elected officials, the agency heads, the department heads who would come before us, before this committee, with their budget requests for new roads, new schools, and other capital projects. So I was in that process of questioning, and I was able to bring out a lot of information and find things that weren't really going well then. I was able in 1 year to help push through getting $10 million for two new cranes at the Port of Wilmington. Mm. Very critical to job growth and to job stability in that port. When the Port Corporation came back the next year, we asked them, what's the status of the crane? When is it coming in? Mm-hmm. They had not ordered it because they were hoping to lease the port out, sell it to somebody else, right. and then they were going to take that $10 million and use it on another project. Well, that's just wrong. And that is one of the things that the state auditor does. I was just at an event yesterday, and somebody outside said, you know, I know my state representative got $100,000 for this community center and to do certain things. I don't think they spent the money. Where's the money going? And this is a question that's come up and down the state. I think people don't have the confidence that the money that is allocated by the General Assembly and signed into law by the governor is getting there. And so that is the difference that I think I have. And I also, while I was at Sikorsky, I managed a team of 30 financial professionals, accountants, financial analysts, budget analysts, IT professionals. So it is this broad range of experience that I have that the other candidates in this race simply don't have. From being an accountant, we don't see that in all the other candidates. Being an auditor, supervising a team of financial professionals, working as a state representative. That key inside knowledge is critical in understanding where to look. And, you know, my education, the Wharton education in technology management, because we are moving into an era, or we've been in an era where we need more technology to be more efficient and to find savings and and what we need to find. So that's what I have.
So with that in mind,
yes.
You know, what are your priorities and visions for the State Auditor's Office? What do you see the office being in your mind?
Office should be doing two things, and it hasn't been doing the first one very well and hasn't been doing the second one at all. And that is doing what's legally required, which is an audit of every agency, branch, division, board, and commission of the state. All of the school districts every year, all the divisions, branches every other year for the most part, but every school district every year. And for years, that simply was not done. If we aren't really looking into the details, if we aren't really adequately doing these audits, we don't know where the money's going. So is it being wasted? Is it being taken? Is it serving the purpose that the public thinks it should be serving? So we really don't have the answers to all that questions because that job hasn't been done. The first thing I would be doing is looking at staffing, how we can improve that, how it can be more efficient, and increase that. 30 years ago, when the current auditor was appointed, there were 57 people in the office. Today, there are around 20. There may be less right now because a couple just left. In that time, the state budget has doubled over those 30 years. Now, yes, we've had some improvement in technology, but you can't double the budget to $4 billion, cut your staff by two-thirds, and think that some improvement in technology will get you there. That's why things aren't being done. The second part of the job that really isn't being done is performance auditing and helping find more efficiencies, seeing how you can do things better. A lot of what I did at Sikorsky, too, was training in continuous improvement, how to do things more efficiently. As a lifelong Democrat, I know that government has an important role to play in our lives. Government is not a business. It doesn't work as a profit-making entity. However, there are business techniques that we can use in doing the job better. And that's another part of my background that I can bring to this. Having worked in the private sector, not just in the public sector, you know, there are other candidates who have only done that. That doesn't give you the breadth of experience and the knowledge to know what are you looking for. And so increasing the staff is critical. We don't have enough people to carry out the constitutionally mandated responsibilities of the office. So we have to look and do that better.
That is my next question, is the staffing. You answer kind of the basic question. You don't think the staffing is adequate. Do you have a sense of what would be adequate staffing for the auditor's office?
Well, I don't have an exact number to give you, but this is part of what I've done in my career, too, is looking at budgets and looking and justifying what the staffing needs are. So I would look at who is there now, what the structure of the office is, and see what the best structure is to go forward. Clearly, we do need to increase the staffing because audits just aren't getting done. Now, we do have to outsource to larger accounting firms because of the timing of the audits, and some of it's just too big. But you need people to manage and supervise those audits who understand what's going on. How do we get those people? That's important, too. And I also want to make sure that we're diversifying the office because that hasn't been a focus either. We're right here at Delaware State University. We should be bringing in interns from DSU and from the University of Delaware to expose them to what's going on, to let them learn. And it's also a potential future workforce that you're bringing in. So we need to diversify. We need to expand the office. And the way to do that is, you may have heard this, others have said, well, you need this relationship with the General Assembly. That's not how you do it. You need to build a case. Working at Sikorsky, I had to do cost-benefit analysis, return on investment. You have to show, and I clearly can, that an increase in staff in the right areas will save you drastically more money than that cost is going to increase. So we need the documentation. We need to show and make a case and go to the Joint Finance Committee. And I say that because having served on the Budget Committee, I know what I was looking for.
Right.
I want the numbers. And other committee members did as well. They want to say, justify this. And that is what I can do as well that the others in this race simply don't even understand.
You talked about independence in this office. Because of the nature of the work of this office, should it be actively working to distance itself from politics and party ties? And if so, how do you do that?
Yes, it should. And that has been really the cornerstone of this campaign. I mean, I know as a longtime accountant that independence is critical. And we just talked about the Sarbanes-Oxley Act mm-hmm. and how Congress put that into place for public corporations, that you have to have that independence because that's where you get into trouble. So I have made it very clear in this race that I will not seek and have not accepted any endorsements from any elected officials or department heads or agency heads. I'm not accepting any financial contributions or help or putting their name on a fundraiser. Just not doing it. Now, I don't know, 8 or 9 months ago, I talked to Governor Carney, and I just to tell him that I was running, mm-hmm. not to ask for anything, just say, by the way, I'm running for state auditor. And his first comment was, well, I can't get involved in that race because I'm head of the executive branch sure. and the auditor audits the executive branch. And we also talked about his time as Secretary of Finance, mm-hmm. Where he worked a lot with the office of the auditor. So he clearly knows that you need to be independent, and he's made that very clear. I contacted and talked to professors at the University of Delaware and at the Wharton School and posed that question. And their first response was, well, yes, that's obvious, but I wanted to make sure that as I bring this up as a topic, that it's not just me saying that for political reasons. This is what the governor said. This is what professors, world-renowned professors at the University of Delaware and at the Wharton School have said. You cannot, in fact, a couple of them have said, anyone, any candidate who has accepted the endorsements and the financial help of elected officials whose departments or agencies or branch of government that the Office of the Auditor is responsible, legally responsible, to audit, and that's all of them, is compromised and cannot do the job. I mean, there's a line in the sand. And there is one candidate who's building a campaign on endorsements. It's just wrong. And the other candidate has some endorsements as well. I mean, the question that I have gotten, and people have asked this, and people are clearly seeing it mm-hmm. As well, the auditor works for the people of the state. It's an independently elected position. The auditor does not work for a state representative or the Speaker of the House or the insurance commissioner. They're responsible for auditing the insurance commissioner and the legislature and pieces of legislation and the law. So it is a blatant, clear, absolute conflict of interest. And you must absolutely be independent. Someone asked me, well, once you get through the primary, are you going to have the governor, hold a fundraiser for you? And I said, no, the position does not change. It must be independent. And I think that's really getting through to people. People really do understand we are in an era where there is too much collusion and corruption. And the principle in auditing, and you'll hear this, there's two pieces of independence, independence of fact and independence in appearance. And you have to meet both of those criteria. So just the optics, if you have someone who's supporting you, who you have to audit, you can't say, they're not being honest. They're being disingenuous to say, well, they're going to help me get elected. They're going to help me raise me all this money. But once I'm in office, I'm going to be completely independent. It's you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. It does not happen. And that's what we, face in this election. There's the qualifications, the experience to do the job, which I have. I mean, you have to have that. Mm-hmm. But even with that, if you are not independent, if there's independence of appearance, if there's even the slightest appearance that you're going to be doing what someone in the legislature tells you to do, or tells you not to do, to look the other way. And we've seen that in the past, all too often. We have seen that. you're compromised. You should not be in that office.
So to piggyback on that, does the state auditor have an appropriate role in influencing state policy in areas beyond accountability of state finances, or should it solely be a watchdog office?
It should be a watchdog office, but I think the difference between the parties, too, is I think I'm very much in favor and think it's an important piece of philosophy. We need to be transparent. We need to have accountability. So we need to take extra steps to make that make sure that that transparency is there, that we have open government, that people know what's going on, that there are no backroom deals. And so that is a principle that the office should hold. It needs to – we need to have the independence to lend credibility to what the government is doing. Because if you don't believe the money's going to the right place, if you see things happening that you don't think should be happening, if you have any doubt that the auditor is going to find that or if they're covering it up for somebody who supported them, then you have no confidence. So you really have to be first and foremost doing what the legal job requires without outside influence.
Does the work of the auditor's office need
Can I mention one more
absolutely.
Point? I did mention too, my background is I come from a union family. My father was in the building trades, operating engineer. I was in the laborers union. That's how I helped pay for college. So I've always been a strong advocate and supporter of organized labor. On the labor committee, I supported an increase in the minimum wage. I was opposed to right-to-work legislation. I supported prevailing wage. And so, yes, while it's a watchdog, there are certain things that, in a broader sense, that I want to make sure that everything is happening as well. We're auditing the financial statements. But if a contract requires prevailing wage be paid on a construction project, then I'm going to make sure that I'm looking for that too. You know, we are looking to see whether where the dollar is going to the right place. But there's a little bit more, and that's the step beyond that I would take. You know, are those prevailing wages being paid? Are the taxes being paid? We had a legislation for workplace fraud, so there are other factors other than simply the internal controls. But is everything being followed according to the intent? And that covers paying the unemployment taxes and paying prevailing wage and things like that. So that is where, yeah, there's a little bit of policy involved, but making sure that what has passed, in addition to just the dollars and cents, occurs.
Does the work of the auditor's office need to be made more visible to the public? Does the public really understand what the auditor's office does?
They do not. And that's the first question I usually have to talk about. Is what does the auditor do? And that's really because over the past 30 years, they've done less and less and less. They're not even doing the required job, such as auditing every school district every year and posting those or making them available. So I would not only revamp the website to make it user-friendly and make sure every audit, every completed final audit is posted, I would hold quarterly meetings with the public up and down the state to talk about the findings of some of these audits so that people understand what's going on. What I've been trying to explain is that the auditor works for the people, not for other elected officials, work for the people. And it's the auditor's job to make sure that the budget that's passed by the House and Senate, signed by the governor, that those dollars go to where they're supposed to. And a lot of people are saying that that does not happen. I think as people understand that, they're starting to realize the importance of the position because it just hasn't been done well for many, many years. So,
and finally, is there an issue or issues or area or areas you feel need to be investigated or better scrutinized at this juncture?
I think if we adequately staff the office and follow the law, that will enable me as the auditor to do what needs to be done. Now, that has not been happening. And I'll give you one, hopefully, quick example. Mm-hmm. There was a report released in June of 2017 on the Sussex Votech School District. Mm-hmm. Now, on July 1st of 2014, 3 years earlier, an anonymous tip went to the auditor's office saying, there's a land deal that looks a little funny. What had happened was the school needed to expand. They needed some property. Someone found out about it. They went and bought a piece of land for $110,000. 2 weeks later, they sold it to the school district for $200,000. That same company got a contract to build, I think it was a bus overhang for, you know, dropping kids off and all. $200,000 contract. There were change orders added to that for really unrelated HVAC work to the tune of $4 million. This was a total $17 million project. Now, invoices were approved, but they were split because part of internal controls is over a certain amount, you set up rules, mm-hmm. two signatures or certain approval, you go up to the superintendent, things right. like that. They were getting around that by splitting the invoices into dollar amounts less than the approval amount. That's not good either. The facilities manager left the job, retired, I guess, and then went to work as the liaison for the contractor. All of those are red flags. Now, as I said, July 1st, 2014, the report comes out 3 years later. All of these things, many of these things, in pieces, should have been caught in the fiscal year 14 audit, and if not then, the 15 or the 16. You know, we're talking years mm-hmm. where who knows what happened to some of that money. It was wasted or taken. Those are the type of we're talking millions of dollars. And that's one school district project. What else is going on? So it's the understanding, and it's knowing where to look. So that, and I'm not suggesting any wrongdoing on the part of that person who retired and went to another job. Mm. But our auditors where I'm working now are scheduled to come in August. That's the kind of question you ask. You say, you know, I need to talk to this person. Oh, they're not here anymore. Where did they go? And then you see their name on there. It's gonna raise a red flag. You have to look into that. Those are the type of things that just haven't been done. And that's what I'd like to see done. So if you do everything according to the law, if you have the staff to do it, then a lot of these problems will work themselves out. That has not been done. As I said, 30 years. The last eight or so, I will say there's another candidate in this race who worked in that office. And I mentioned earlier, transparency, complete reports. When the report is done, finalized, signed off, then it goes out there for the public to see. But when it is still in process, when it's incomplete, and when looking at it could be misleading because you don't have all the information, that report should not be leaked, as has happened. So that's a problem in the auditor's office, too. There was a confidential work papers that were leaked to state representatives who were working on legislation dealing with the topic of that audit. That was actually done by a candidate in this race. So we need ethical standards. We need, and I would lead by example to make sure to emphasize and highlight the independence and the ethical responsibilities of this job. And that's, I think, when you do that, you get things done.
All right. Dennis Williams, Democratic candidate for state auditor, we thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You can find all of our candidate conversations online at DelawarePublicMedia.org and DelawareDebates.org. This candidate conversation was taped at the Delaware Public Media Studios on the campus of Delaware State University and is part of Delaware Debates 2018, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. Thanks for listening.